Hallelujah. I was trying to think. Sometimes you have all these things going on in your head that you want to share, but you want to make sure you remember all the things that you have in your head, you know. But it doesn't matter whether I do or not. But anyway, whether I remember them all. But I'm going to share a few things with you. But one of the things tonight I was thinking, you know, John and I have gone through a lot in the last 9 months. And I know I've mentioned this last time I talked, but tonight I just kept hearing the Lord say, "You've come out smelling like a rose." You ever go through a really hard time and you're finally on the other side? That doesn't mean there won't be any more problems. That doesn't mean that there's still things to work through. But I just know that we're on the other side. Amen? And the other thing was when you were leading worship tonight, I was thinking about, we haven't traveled this year very much. Have you noticed we've been around a lot? That's unusual, and it's probably the last year you're going to see us here that much. Because I know that God's calling us to the nations. And when you were singing the song, "How Great Is Our God," you know, we've taken that song all over the world, and I've heard it sung in Spanish and French and German and in the Filipino languages, and it's a powerful song. But I think the first time we ever took it was like 20 years ago, you know, to France, and it made me remember how much that I love the world. You know, it's been a quiet time for us, and it's been a hard time for us, but now God is like taking us like a slingshot and saying, "Go," you know. And so in November the 9th or the 8th, somewhere in there, we are flying to Argentina, and we're going to go for a whole month because it's a very expensive trip. It's going to cost us like $1,700 each for our flight to go. And we, some of the places we go there, we stay in hotels and we pay for our own food. We do get some offerings, but you don't go just for 2 weeks. You know, you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to spend that much to go, you need to go and really do what God's called you to do. And there's so many places there that have waited for us to come there, and we never went there. So we got new places to go, and we got old places to go, and we're excited. And so John wanted me to share. We had asked you for some, anybody that wanted to share, for Bibles for Pakistan. You know, we've been ministering in Pakistan for, how many years has it been now? 7? And we minister on Skype. And so Zeba had said, "Mama, we went to this village and led a lot of people to the Lord, and none of them have Bibles. And so we asked some of you to help us, and we sent her $300, and she bought 36 Bibles with that." That's pretty good. So she goes, "Well, Mama, we want you to minister while we pass out these Bibles in this place. We want them to hear the gospel through you, and we want you to see us give them the Bibles." And so it was a real bad connection that morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, which isn't too bad. And Pastor John was preaching, and John said, "Turn in your Bibles to whatever it was, Matthew, whatever." And Zeba stopped, and she turned it, and she goes, "Papa, they don't have Bibles. We haven't passed them out yet." You know, and I'm like, whoa. What a thought, they don't have Bibles, you know? But anyway, they've had some other villages, they've done the same, and they need more Bibles. And she's like, "Mama, pray." So we would really like to gather more money to send for Bibles to Pakistan. So if anybody wants to help with that, you know, mark it. We'd like at least another 300 to send again. And so if anybody wants to give for that, that would be great, okay? Okay. Pastor says right there. You can do it while Pastor John's preaching if you want. They do that all over the world, you know. Just bring it up while they're preaching. If you can say amen, come bring some money. No. I'm not asking for us. Okay? I don't beg for money. I'm just telling you the need, you know. And so anyway, in the Philippines, Pastor Solomon has asked, okay, Pastor Solomon has the most awesome work in the Philippines. He has trained Bible college students every year, sends them out. He's got over 50 churches now that he trained young people to go out and pastor. And then he also has an orphanage. And so they feed like 80, 90 people every day. And so we send, along with some of your help, $500 a month for food for them. But they have this van that's falling apart. Okay, John says the van's good. It's a piece of junk, but they can keep it going. But all they're needing now is an engine for it. And it's a diesel engine. And he checked around to see what he could find, and so they needed $2,600 for this van. Okay? So about 3 weeks ago, I sent them $2,600, knowing that I was coming here tonight, and I need to replenish that to pay for our trip to Argentina. I'm just being honest with you. You guys are my family, right? You're my brothers and sisters, right? And so the other thing is, about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I shared with all of you that they needed a computer. Now, for them, that's not a toy. It's something they really need, because that's what they use for everything. You know, they do it for the overhead. They do it for teaching, because they have Bible college. They use it for that. Back then, Pastor Dan was a pastor, and he goes, "You're not sending them a used computer. We're going to go buy you a new one to take." So he bought a new one and handed it to me to take to the Philippines. Well, it just finally died. And so Solomon, he's not a beggar. He just said, my laptop died, Mama. Could you tell the people? Okay, so we need a laptop. We need $2,600 and another $300 for Bibles. And so I'm just sharing this with you. No pressure. Just opportunity. There you go. But I know that you all have big hearts, and I know that you have all given so many times, and you're all part of what we do. It's because you don't necessarily get on an airplane and go with us. You're still part of what we do, because you all have helped us give to the nations. And in March, we're going back to the Philippines. We didn't go this year. And they're like, "Are you coming this year, Mama? Please, you and Papa come." It's a very hard trip for us physically. The other thing is your prayers. Thank you all for praying for us. We can feel it. We know that you're praying, and it means everything to us. You know, like I've said before, we've gone without the prayer backing, and we've gone with it, and with it is much better. Amen. We can sense your prayers. We can sense that you're behind us, and it means everything, and you're all part of it. All the people that come to Jesus as we go to the nations, you're all part of it. And we love all of you. And like I said, you're family. And thank you for being our family. You know, I don't hug y'all enough, but I do like to hug. So don't ever feel like you can't walk up and give me a hug, okay? And we love you so much.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. It's good to see all of you. We thank the pastor and the leadership staff here for the opportunity to share the Word of God. God is such a good God. And thank you for the ministry that you have here in this church to the nations of the world. We thank you for what you have given in the past, what you're going to continue to give. And I just want to share, last year, I think it was Argentina, that there was over 200 people came to the Lord in the ministry just in that one trip. And so you're part of 200 souls. Heaven was rejoicing. And we're praying and believing that the word this morning said it's going to be double, right? It's going to be more. Because the word has gone out. And the word's going to continue to go out. Hallelujah. And the word always does what? What does Isaiah say? Brings back what it's intended to go out for. It comes back with a harvest. It doesn't come back empty. It comes back with a harvest. Hallelujah. So we're honored that you're here tonight. We're honored that you have put faith in us, and thank you for the encouraging words, Pastor. And we need to continue to pray and press into what God has for us. Amen. And tonight I want to share a word that the Lord birthed in my spirit the other night, and it's been so strong. And I normally never share what I'm going to speak with my wife, but we went out the other night and I was able to open up and share with her, and it was so strong. God is wanting to take the church beyond the veil. That's the name of the message, is Beyond the Veil. And we want to read some scripture here out of Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13. And we read out of the New Living. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." And then these two verses, God really spoke to me, verse 19 and 20. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May it come alive in our spirit. May we catch what you have spoken to us and what you are speaking to us, that we can go to the next level in a relationship with you, Lord, that we're not left high and dry, but we're in line and in tune with you, Lord. So tonight, Father, open your word, open our spirits to receive that word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk about two things tonight, hope and the veil. And hope is something that the Bible dictionary says is reliance on God's blessing, on his provision, and the expectation of future good. The veil was a screen that was separating the holy place and the holy of holies. It was 60 feet tall, and I don't remember how thick. But also, there's a veil, it talks about in the Bible, of a cloth that people wear on their face or on their head. But first of all, we want to start out with hope. Hope is the expectation of what? Future good. What is our future good? Heaven, right? We're expecting that someday we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Hallelujah. When God is God in our life, we have great expectation. The hope, and the writer Paul, he turns it into like a ship, the anchor of our soul. It's sure, it's steadfast. We can count on it. We can rely on that hope. And I grew up in the Amish Mennonite church, and they really believe that they hope they can make it to heaven. But this is not the hope I'm talking about tonight. We have an assurance that when we confess our faults and we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that someday we're going to spend eternity with him. But they hope that by the way they dress and the way that they act and the way they live, that someday they might make it to heaven. But we have an assurance of this hope in our lives. It's solid in our lives. It's sure in our lives. It's an anchor of our soul. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, as 2 Corinthians 16 says. I believe it is. 15:58. Because then, knowing that Jesus is our high priest, knowing that he's interceding for us, knowing that his sacrifice, his death, was enough for all of us, knowing that it was enough for all the world, then we take that word and we hope and add our faith together. We mix it together. Hope and faith goes together. What is faith? Now, faith is the evidence of, is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see it, but it's not here yet, right? We see it in the spirit. We see it in a vision, but we haven't experienced it yet. But we press on, and that's what keeps us going, is that hope or that assurance. That's the anchor of our soul, the anchor of our faith tonight is hope. Abraham was an example of that faith and hope. And I'm going to talk about him for just a few moments. He had a promise. He had a word from God. He walked in it even though it hadn't happened yet. "I will make you a great nation." No children. But he walked forward. He went out anyway to a place that God told him to go. God promised him an inheritance. It hadn't happened yet, but he obeyed God's word. He lived in the land of promise, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, as a foreigner, a stranger. But verse 10 of Hebrews 11 says, he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, he's waiting for that eternal heaven, right? What city has a great foundation? Heaven. Read it in Revelation 21, right? But the word God gives us, hope, it's hope. The word of God gives us hope. The news media give us chills, right? But Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2, it says there was a rest that God had planned for his people, the children of Israel, but they never entered into that rest because they didn't mix God's word, the promise of God to them. They didn't mix that with their faith. And it says in verse 2 that the Bible, the word of God, is preached to us as well. And what are we going to do with the word of God that's preached to us? Are we going to mix faith with that word and enter into the blessings that God has for us? The children of Israel lived in the wilderness. They never crossed over. They never received the rest because the land of promise was a place where God said, I'll take care of you. I'll cause it to rain. I'll cause it to do this. I'll cause you to prosper. And yet, they stayed on the other side of the Jordan. And I'm looking at the church. We're the church, right? What promises has God given us? What word has he given us? Have we taken that word and begin to walk in it as Abraham did? Even though he didn't know where he was going, he heard the word of God and he said, I believe God's word is true. I believe what he's spoken will take place. And when he was, 100 years old, his promise came. And none of us could hang out that long, I don't think. We give up. We have to mix faith and hope together. We have to mix it. Just like our body, when we take food into our body, the saliva and the gastric juices in our stomach cause that food to dissolve and work for our body. If it didn't do that, we'd die. And it's the same way we have to mix God's word and our faith together so that we can live. So that we can be a powerful influence in this world that we live today. Here tonight, tomorrow as you go out the doors, as you go to work. But we need the power of God. Hallelujah. And I have down here deferred hope. It's Proverbs 13 and 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. And Pastor quoted Proverbs 29:18 this morning, where there's no vision, there's no revelation, the people perish. So when hope seemingly is gone, and of course the devil, he comes in, he takes away hope, or he tries to block it. You know, God doesn't do that. So if your hope is deferred, it's not from the Lord. We wait, and it seems like nothing is ever going to happen. And of course, Satan comes along and he says, it's never going to take place, right? Right, Nancy? The devil says, it's never going to be healed. It's never going to happen. And then he brings fear in. And we become afraid instead of powerful. If we're absent of hope tonight, what are we reading? If you're absent of hope tonight, what are you hearing? If you're absent of hope tonight, what are you speaking? Where are you spending your time? Hope is what enters the presence behind the veil. What did verse 19 say? This hope we have, anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Oh, hallelujah. The hope we have is an anchor for our soul. It's sure, it's steadfast, but it's that hope that takes us into God's presence. It's the, hallelujah, it takes us into the throne room. It's that hope that causes that assurance to rise up within our spirit, knowing what God has spoken He will do. Hallelujah. You're really quiet tonight. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about the veil. There's two different definitions I already gave them. The veil that was worn on the face or the head, and the veil or screen that they divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And Hebrews talks about 6, it talks about all the different things. But so we could say tonight that a veil is something that stops us from seeing clearly, or veil is something that separates us from God's presence. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 50, that Jesus was hanging on that cross. He gave up the ghost. And verse 51 says that the earth shook and the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And somebody says it started at the top to show who had the power, right? But the Holy of Holies was opened up at that point, because Jesus entered in for us first. He became our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You want to know about Melchizedek? Read Hebrews 7. It talks all about Melchizedek. He had no beginning. He had no end. Doesn't mention a father or mother or any siblings, because he was a shadow of Christ. But the high priest, chapter 9 of Hebrews, tells us about the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and how the priest once a year went into that Holy of Holies. He sprinkled himself, sacrificed the calves and the goats, and he took that blood and sprinkled it on himself and on the people and all of the utensils and everything. And then he went in there once a year, that Day of Atonement, for the sins of the people. And you know, they say, and I've read it in the Bible, but I couldn't find it when I wanted to find it, that they tied a rope to his leg. So just in case he wasn't pure and he wasn't holy, that in the presence of God, God would strike him dead, that they could drag him out. But once a year, with his own blood, he entered into the Holy of Holies. With his own blood, Jesus became our high priest. He entered into the most holy place once and for all. Hallelujah. So it's his example that we follow today. It's his example that leads us. He gave his life. Pastor, he served us. He served us first. He humbled himself on the cross. He went first to make a way for you and me to enter in. Where do we need to enter? Where did he go? Into the very presence of the Lord. Where do we need to go tonight? Into the very presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a lot of problems as people, as men and women, as children, as young people. A lot of problems in our lives. And many times we run here and we run there and we get on the phone and we do all these things, but do we run first into the Holy of Holies behind the veil? And the Lord is speaking to me tonight that if we can learn to go behind that veil, that we will receive the miracles that we need. We will receive the financial blessings. We will receive all those things that we've been asking Him for. Hallelujah. The very presence of God. And church, could we liken the church as the holy place? And I think the Lord showed me that. We come Sunday after Sunday. We are reverent. We don't eat in the church. We don't yell and scream or talk loud unless we're praising God, right? We prepare ourselves as we come in for God's presence. And we come week after week, maybe for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Faithful. But it's not the Holy of Holies. We have many beautiful buildings all around the world, all adorned just like this place, beautiful place. People come to worship. They experience God. They experience something that they really want. And people all over the world, they repeat the same practice. Sunday, go to church, sing, read God's word, give your tithes, listen to the preacher, go home. Week after week, and they never enter in. And guess what? It becomes a form of religion. Guess what? There's no revival. There's no change. But we feel good because we've done the right thing. Are we veiled? That's the question. Is the church veiled? Whatever stops us from entering into the presence of God or connecting with God's presence becomes a veil. And many people are veiled today. They cannot see the truth. Obvious in our nation. The sad part is many people are being taught by their spiritual leaders, their pastors, cheap grace, forgiveness without repentance, abortion's okay, homosexuality's okay, just learn to live with it, just love them. And I'm sorry, folks, brothers and sisters, we have to draw the line and say, no, that is not right. God's word says it is a sin. Now, we love them, of course, but we pray for the deliverance. People cannot see the truth because there's a veil on their face. And others hide behind the veil so we can't see them. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read some verses there. And I think it becomes very clear to us. I want to start with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Moses has read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. God is transforming us as we come to Him, as we accept Him as our High Priest, as we follow Him into the Holy of Holies. There's a change that takes place. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit's working now. It says if that old law was really glorious and Moses' face is shown that they couldn't even look at it, how much more glorious is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Woo! The ministry of the Holy Spirit comes into us, comes upon us, and it changes us day by day, transforming us into His image, free. And God spoke to me about the image. Remember in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Lord said, let us make man, human beings in our image, to be like us. Verse 27 or 28, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. male and female, he created them. If God is really changing us, shouldn't there be evidence in our life that we are being transformed back into that original creation, the original plan of God? What changed our image? Sin. Disobedience. But now that we are obedient and we've come to the cross and we've laid down our life, we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, shouldn't there be a transformation bringing us back into that perfect image that He's made us? Hallelujah, in the beginning. A little rough? We're a little rough. When we first come to Christ, we're pretty rough. But we can't stay that way. God changes us. He transforms us. The Holy Spirit in our life, as the Word says, transforms us. We are free from what? Sin. We are free from guilt. We are free from shame. We are free from the mistakes that we made. And it goes on and on. So we as the church need to rise up. Hallelujah. We need to have some boldness, some authority in our life. Hallelujah. Because God is doing something. And it's good as we submit to that. Page 5. Why was the church, the first church, so powerful? The first church. Because all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were free from religion. They were free to enter into the Holy of Holies. They were free to go beyond the veil. They were able to enter into the very presence of God, and the very presence of God changed them. It brought such a power in their life. What does Acts 1 verse 8 said? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, right? You shall be a powerhouse to testify and spread the word of God. Hallelujah. So in boldness, the first church went out. They weren't afraid of anybody. They went from door to door. First of all, they prayed together. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. They did everything together. They brought all the monies together. And I know that communal living doesn't work in today's age. I'm not promoting that. But they were one. There was unity. Because all of a sudden, they experienced the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In their lives. They were free from that religious bondage. They were not afraid to enter into the very presence of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 19. There's so many verses that we can't really go into. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. I think we go through 21, 22. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, 22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Oh, hallelujah. We can go right into the presence of God. The devil can lie to you. He can say you're no good, you're all this and you're all that. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, Christ says, follow me because I went before you. I've made a way for you. And we can enter right into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Which is a place where God speaks to us. No more veil. No stopping. We march forward. We cross over. We don't stay in the wilderness. We don't stay on the other side. We cross over because we heard God's word, and now our faith says, mix that together and let's march forward. Hallelujah. God has a plan, a place for you. I think Pastor said we all have a place this morning. We all have something that we can do. And so, because we have that hope and that assurance, and we've heard God's word, we're not stopped. The church today is reaping, sad to say, things that have been preached 20, 30 years ago. And we've watered down the gospel. And what have we gotten? We've got a watered down church. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit in our life, makes the changes that we need. It makes the changes that you need tonight. You need freedom? Get into the holy place. You need a change? Get into the holy place. You need deliverance? Get into the holy place. You need a miracle in your life? Get into the holy place. You need direction for your life? Get into the holy place. Whatever you need tonight is found in the presence of God, behind the veil, because that's where God is. I've heard this said, and I've repeated it myself. If you want the same results that you've always gotten, do the same thing you've always done. But if you want some new results and you want some new things, then you have to do something you've never done before. And it's found behind the veil. It's found in God's presence tonight. And I want to challenge you, when you come to church, don't just stay in the holy place. Enter the Holy of Holies, because we've had a touch of it here many Sundays in a row. But one day, God's going to meet us here in a very strong way. And there's going to be revival that breaks out in this place. I'm telling you, it's been promised, hallelujah. And it's going to take place. But we have to go beyond our religious practices. We have to go a step further. You know, that little imp will sit on your shoulders and say, well, you're not worthy. You've done all these things, you know, but you got to put him under your feet, right? And say, hey, I have a high priest who went behind the veil. In fact, as the veil was ripped apart, torn apart because he sacrificed his life, he served me first. And so we follow him. The Bible says he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Tonight, there's intercession being made for you, for your life, for your plan, for your children, for your grandchildren. The vision that God has given you, the dream that has been planted in you that you've not seen fulfilled, the healing that's been promised that you haven't experienced yet. God is interceding for you and me tonight. Hallelujah. And he's saying, come on, church, get bold. Come into my presence. Come into the place where I can speak to you and you can speak to me without distraction. Hallelujah. But then I might be called a fanatic or radical. Would you rather be left outside? Are you happy just coming into the holy place? Or do you really want to enter in? We weren't raised that way, most of us. Some of you were. Go to church, pay your tithes, dress nice, look nice, say hi to a couple of people, sing some songs, worship God, tell the preacher it was a really good word, and go home. What's changed? Nothing, really. You want to change? You want something new? Oh, hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm ready for the change. And the Lord spoke to me about the two of you, that there's a change coming. And it goes right along with the word that he's bringing you to that place where you're going to see a glory touch come down, almost like a bolt of lightning that's going to come down and secure something that you've been praying about. I saw it in a vision. I saw it, that God's moving special for you. So just be ready. The Lord is moving. When you're sleeping, the Lord is moving. When you're awake, he's moving. And he's changing things that you thought were impossible. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just wanted to walk back here. Is Bill coming back, Amy? I have the Lord's given me a word for you guys, and so I'll wait. That's right. Hallelujah. but there's a shaking that's been going on in your life for many years. I see the Lord bringing his hand on that shaking, and that voice is going to be still. There's a peace that you have desired, and it's not been there. The Lord says, I'm bringing that peace back into your home. It's going to take a miracle, but he's a miracle worker. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hey, Bill, I have a word for you and your wife, if you'd like. I saw in the Spirit, the Lord said, I've blessed you, the two of you, I've blessed you so that you could bless the nations. But do you still have a business? You stopped the business. But I saw God doing some things supernaturally as I was praying and as we were worshiping. The Lord showed me this tonight. And then I saw a piece of paper, and somebody was writing some things down on that paper that were not very pleasant. But it's kind of like that. Years ago, we used to have this, like an Etch-a-Sketch or something, but you just lift up the paper and it all disappears. You know, you write on it, and then you lift it up, and then you write something else. And I saw the Lord taking his hand on that and just lifting it up. And all those negative words that were on that paper disappeared. And the Lord says, now watch my hand and see if I will not answer the prayers that you have prayed. And see if, watch me and see if I won't make a way where there has been no way. It's like the glory was just being released. Like you were being washed with this big wave that just brought such refreshing. The Lord says, I'm doing a new thing now. Because you have been faithful. But the other word I got was that he was blessing you so that you could be a blessing. So just realize that God is answering every prayer that you've prayed. He hasn't forgotten one, he hasn't skipped one, but that he's working in your favor. Ooh, I like that. He's working in your favor to bring you to a place of very, very big blessings in your life. No curse. The curse is broken. There's somebody spoke a curse over the two of you somewhere down the road, and the Lord says, I've broken that curse. You're free. It's like you're going to prosper in ways and places that you never thought were possible. So God's going to continue to work on you. Bless you. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord's saying something to you. Usually he has a word for you, an encouraging word. He says, enter in. You got to let go of some of those things you've been hanging on to. I know you desire to serve God. You've been hungry for him. But there's still another place in the Holy of Holies for you. And all of those things that have happened and all of those things that are taking place every day, even today, the Lord says, will vanish and become as nothing as you enter in. So there's a place of renewal, a place of refreshing, a place of fresh hope for you. Say, well, I heard these words, you can never do that again. And the Lord is saying, that's not my words. It's like the devil saying, you can never feel fulfilled. You can never do this. You can never do that. Those are not from God. God saying, I give you a fresh start, a new start. There's hope. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll just hear this word. It's under the spout where the blessings pour out. We used to sing that song. And God is just really wanting to do something new. You've given those children, husband, there's many things here. They're kind of like they're all in this big mixing pot. And there's a lot of confusion going on in their lives. But the Lord says tonight, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to bring stability into their lives. And I'm going to open their spirit to hear what I'm saying. So you don't have to even speak. But you have given it to the Lord, and he's going to work the miracle. So under the spout where his glory comes out and it touches people in a way just like Paul when that bolt of lightning struck him on the Damascus road and knocked him down. The Lord says, I will work in your favor also to redeem my children. That's what the word I hear, to redeem my children. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beyond the veil. We can't stop now. We have to press on, Pastor. And the Lord is bringing and raising you up, not only as a lead pastor of this church, but as a leader in the nation and the leader of the Open Bible denomination. And the Lord is raising you up to be that leader. You say, but I'm pastor here. I know. You'll remain pastor here. That's not what I'm saying. But the Lord is saying, I'm raising you up. And you're going to be willing to take the first step. And if it means to stop something that's going on in the denomination, you're going to be a voice that will be heard. And God's putting that authority in you. And as a child of God, it will be backed by the Holy Spirit. And your voice will stop some of the negative things that are trying to take place. The Lord said, I'm raising you up, son, in this hour, in this day, for my church, not for the Open Bible, for my church. Ooh, hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Continue to watch over his family and his children, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Young lady, I just can't take my eyes off of you. God is wanting to touch your life in a way that's to cause newness to come, you know? Sometimes the old things just kind of get like in a ball, and it's like what you really need is tucked inside that ball and you can't get it. The Lord says, tonight I want to touch your life. I want to open you up so you can be healed, so you can breathe again, so you can be refreshed. And the Lord says, he loves you so much that there is hope. If you will take a hold of that hope and that word that he has for you, that you're going to see such a change. Oh, I know you've been asking God where, how, but tonight God says, I'm in charge if you'll let me be. He loves you so much that he's going to do those things for you. All you have to do is just open yourself up and say, here I am, Lord. I'll take whatever you have for me. Let the past be the past. Paul made a statement. He said, I'm not there yet. I haven't attained it all, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in other words, asking God to forgive him for those things behind, he presses on. He sees a mark of the high calling of God. You are a called woman tonight. God has a plan for your life. Even when you were born, there was a plan for your life, but the devil come and tried to steal it from you. But tonight the Lord says, I'm restoring that plan into your life. Hallelujah. And there's hope. You can hope again. So just trust God tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We need to pray for, what's your first name? Mickey. We need to pray for Mickey every day that this will really sink into her spirit and she'll catch a hold of what God has for her. Hallelujah. This young lady right here, hungry for the word, hungry for God. Whew. Did I see you in a like a dryer and everything's being tumbled around a little bit? And I see the Lord take hold of the door and he opens it up and you just kind of fall out. He said, no more tumbling. Okay, you're done tumbling. You've been dried. You've been washed. You've been dried. Now it's time to become what I've called you to become. There's hope for you. There's a life for you. After sin, there's life. Because who's in charge? God. He's in charge to change your situation. To move you into the new presence. I think I saw it maybe for you before. I don't know if it's you or someone else, but I see the green pasture before you. But you can't just stand there and say, wow, that's a nice green pasture over there. You have to walk into that. The Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need. He leads me into what? Green pastures. As the Lord leads us, he takes us to a place where we're refreshed and restored and renewed. That's what God is doing for you tonight. Hallelujah. So grab hold of that. Close your ears to those negative voices. Stay in the presence of God. That's where the change will come. And the joy, the smile, the laughter will come back. The dance will come back. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless her, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this moment. I just heard that word, for this moment. And for this time and for this season, you have sowed many seeds, the Lord says, but I'm bringing a harvest into your midst. I don't know if that's just the ministry of the youth or if it's also a ministry of your life. But you're in a season of harvest tonight. Grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. God just loves you so much. He's going to bless you. He's releasing a harvest. There's a time when you gave unconditionally to some need. I don't know what it was. The Lord doesn't show me. That's okay. But you really gave a lot. And you weren't sure how it was ever going to be repaid. The Lord says, I'm not going to pay it back. I'm going to double it and triple it. And you will receive the harvest that you believed, that you sowed into by faith. And the new thing now that you need in the next 6 months is going to come to pass because of that seed. Oh, hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Am I in trouble yet? Okay, almost. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord sets up watchmen and women for this day and hour, and they take control of what's happening in our world, and they speak it out. And my brother Ross, brother Steve, and this couple here, they stand as the watchmen for this church. I want you to know you need to listen when they speak, because God's called them to be watchmen. A watchman that sits on the wall, that blows the trumpet when the enemy is coming. And so give heed to what they hear the Holy Spirit say. Ooh, hallelujah. That's directly from the throne. God bless them. Hallelujah. I know the word came a couple of weeks ago, but God just drawn me here like a magnet. I don't know what he's going to say, all right? But the new things are here before you. Oh, you've been praying for him. You've been interceding for him. Fact is, you painted for it. The Lord says, the new things now are coming. And I've unlocked the door. I think our doors are really important in you guys' life, but he says, I've unlocked the door. And all you have to do is open it. Have you ever stuffed a lot of things in a closet because somebody was coming over and, you know, the room was a mess and you kind of shoved everything and you closed the door and the next one they left, you open the door and everything comes spilling out? Well, I just had a vision that when you opened that door that there was an abundance that was coming out. Whatever that means, however that fits into your lives. But I had that vision for you that God is going to do the new thing that you have sowed for. Do the new thing that you have in your heart here. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Miracle that has come your way. Not just for her, but for you. Is not stopping at some point. I just want to encourage you tonight. The Lord is saying to touch you tonight. The miracle that God has placed in your life is not stopping at some point. In other words, you're not going to die of heart failure. That's really what he's saying. Might die of old age. But God is saying, I'm going to continue to pour out my miracles into your life for whatever you need. It won't just be the heart problem. It might be for your children. It might be for your grandchildren. It might be for your family. I don't know wherever that fits in, but God said the miracles are going to keep coming. Woo! Hallelujah. I like that word. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Under the spout where the glory runs out. We haven't sang that song for a long time. Now we won't try to sing it, honey. Don't have me sing it, okay? Isn't the Lord great? You didn't receive a word prophetically. You received a word from the Word, right? Tonight, Pastor, will you come? But if you want to enter the holy place, you have to go behind the veil. You can't stay on the other side. You have to enter in. Lord bless you. Thank you for allowing us to speak.